Praise the Lord. Do you love the Lord this morning? You excited about what God is going to do today? Amen, amen. And it's good to be in life class this morning. Why don't we all stand this morning? We're going to open it with a word of prayer. Very excited to have Sister Natalie Johnson with us today. And she's going to be taking both... Sunday school. Yeah, Sunday school's dismissed. Thank you. I completely forgot about Sunday school because we're out of the normal here. So Sunday school kids can head off. Awesome. I think the adults are outnumbering the kids today. Oh, the youth are in here too. That would be why. Praise the Lord. Let's just bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Precious Jesus, what an honor and a privilege to know you today, Lord, to be able to serve you, to give our lives, Lord God, as an offering to you, Lord, a living sacrifice, Jesus. Lord, we pray, God, that as we begin our life class, you have your way, Lord. Let your will be accomplished, Lord, not just in this session, but in every session that's to come today. We love you. We praise you in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. 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 God bless you. You may be seated. Sister Johnson, why don't you come? Minister to us the word of the Lord. God
bless you. Praise the Lord, church. Okay, we're going to have fun today in the Holy Ghost. It's my honor to be here with you all here in Cairns. I've actually been here. This is like my first time. Okay, I'm traveling all throughout your country. And this is my first time actually being in the same city for more than 1 week. So that was actually very nice. I was with Pastor and Sister Hickola last week. And so now I get to be over here with you all this week. So I'm very, very excited. I'm loving Cairns. I will have to say it kind of reminds me of Florida from where I'm from in the States. Down, you know, you have the palm trees, the tropical weather. I think yours is a little bit more tropical than ours, though. I'm getting accustomed to it. But it's been my honor to be here with Pastor and Sister Gratian and Brother Jonathan. So they are just wonderful, godly people, righteous people. You can tell in the life that they live. It's been my honor to be here and to be with you, Hope Divine. So, woo! So we're going to jump into the, since we already prayed, we're going to jump into this, because I'm looking at my time, I'm going to pay attention to the time. Lord, you just have your way, Lord. Don't let me speak any more, no less of exactly what you want me to say, in Jesus' name. But if you'd like to open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 2, and I want to say happy Mother's Day to all you mamas, and I'll say it in the other service, but the Bible says give honor to whom it is due. And so that's why I think it's very appropriate that we take a day, a year to honor our mothers, and then a day, a year to honor our fathers. Absolutely, to give honor to whom it is due. And you mamas make a lot of sacrifices. And so we, and I know it gets overlooked a lot of the time, you know, all throughout the years, mamas, you know, they get overlooked and all the sacrifices that they make. But I don't get to be with my mama. She's on the other side of the world right now, and it's not technically Mother's Day till a few more hours for them, so I'm going to call her, absolutely. So if you're young in here, call your mama on Mother's Day. Let her know. Say happy Mother's Day. And I already sent her a gift. Thank God for Amazon, that it works on the other side of the world too, that my mama got a gift on Mother's Day. She's all excited. I said, I can't forget my mama. I'm like, I don't care where you're at on the face of this planet. You better send your mama something on Mother's Day, you know? And my one sister said, Natalie, you're beating us even on the other side of the world, you know? She's like, you already got her a gift. I'm like, you got to. And my mom's love language is gifts in the first place. So that's how she speaks love, is through gifts, that five love language. And I'm like, you better make sure she got a gift. So my mama did. So I want to give honor to you all, you precious ladies. And then to Sister Pastor Gibuma, I hope to God I got it right. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, I want to give honor to you, Pastor, for being here with us today. I practice that because sometimes my American accent, the words just don't sound as pretty. I'll be honest. As I'm here in Australia, okay, this is my personality here, y'all. So we're just warming up a little bit. I'm getting y'all all warmed up who this American is over here because we're about to get in the word here. But when we say it in our American accent, it just doesn't sound as pretty. Like y'all say rubbish. I'm like, I say rubbish. I'm like, it just, your words sound so much better than ours. Because for rubbish, we use trash. And for bin, we say garbage can. Go put it in the garbage can. I'm like, you say, go put it in the bin. I'm like, that just sounds so more refined. I'm like, you can tell the British influence is coming out in y'all a little bit. I'm like, no. Yeah, it just doesn't sound as pretty. So I was so glad I got it. I was like, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. May I give honor to you today. It's great for that you're here. And all of you that are visitors, I'm so glad. And, you know, I'm going to say, come back too, another time. So you'll be like, that way you can get the true experience. And it's not just this American speaking. But Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Oh, don't you love this right here? Oh, my voice is so loud. It echoes really. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Ooh! As of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, ooh, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And my first thing today is, if that has never happened to you, today is your day. Today is your opportunity for that to happen to you, because that gift is still as real today as it was 2,000 years ago. We thank you, Jesus, for that, first and foremost, for that, so that that could be your day. The gift comes to you today. But when I was reading that, what stuck out to me was there was cloven tongues like as a fire. They were having a prayer meeting in that place. That's how the church was birthed. Was in a prayer meeting. And really, I might not say any, a lot of you are my elders in here, so I absolutely give you honor today. You are my elders, and I might not even be speaking anything that you already don't even know. You might already know this. If anything I have come, maybe the Lord has sent me here, it's just as a reminder, you know, a reminder, or just to stir some things up, you know, that sometimes that we just, it becomes commonplace. And I say, Lord, help us in our walk with you that this never just becomes commonplace to us. That we hear those scriptures and we're just like, oh, yeah. So if anything, maybe I've just come to stir things, just to stir it a little bit. And I even say that in my own life. I was in there praying, stir me, Jesus. Stir me. I never want to get so commonplace with your word or with experience or just come into the house of God that we just get so accustomed coming and sitting. But every time, Lord, let it be an experience, something new, something different, Lord, that I can feel your sweet presence. Every service that we come through the doors, no matter where we're at on the face of this planet, if this is your local church or if your local church is somewhere else, but every time we come in the doors, that we come with this expectation that there should be fire. Oh, God. That there should be fire. Oh, God, I'm supposed to be teaching, Jesus. I'm supposed to be teaching. Oh, God. But there should be fire. And that's what stuck out to me in those scriptures. And the Lord spoke to me when I was reading that. I've read that for years. And it was like, you know how you read something, and you read it all the time, but then all of a sudden the Lord just, pew, something just jumps out at you. And that's what happened. He said, Natalie, what does it take to make a fire? I said, thank you, Lord, for Google. Thank you, Jesus, that we have Google. Because I was like, it's been a while since I've been in science class. And so I was like, Lord, I don't really know. Maybe that's something I very much need to find out, especially in these end times. We might have to be going back to old school ways, making fires. He's like, so I looked it up. Three elements are required to start a fire. Heat, fuel, and oxygen. So if that is in the natural, the Spirit's going to parallel that. They parallel. That's why God would always teach in parables. He would use the things of this world, tangible, touchable things that we could see, to explain spiritual concepts. And so he's like, okay. So I was like, okay, well then God, how does that relate in the Spirit? If we want a spiritual fire here, then what is the heat? What is the fuel? And what is the oxygen? And the Lord spoke to me. Heat. The fervent prayers of the righteous. Your fuel is your faith. And the oxygen is the winds of the Spirit. So we're going to break those three things down today in life class. And I'm going to try to teach Jesus. Lord, help me, God. And I'm paying attention to the time, okay? We got to get out of here at a certain time because then we're going to start this next service in Jesus' name. And I am expecting a mighty move of the Holy Ghost in this place. Why? Because God is here. And he said, where two or three agree, and when we come together in one mind and one accord, that he is going to be with us. So there is more than two or three in here. So Lord, we expected something great to be in this place today. James 5 and 16 for heat. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If you look up those words right there, effectual and fervent, that in the Strong's Concordance, they actually go together. If you want this, what they mean in Hebrew, they actually are joined. And this is what it means this, it's energio. And when I read that, I was like, oh, I know that word, energio. It's where we get the word energy. So when it's talking about effectual, fervent prayers, it's talking about prayers with energy. Not some dull, lacking faith, but prayers with energy. There are all different types of prayers. There are your common prayers as far as your relational prayers with God. Just getting up in the morning and you saying, Lord, I love you. I bless your sweet holy name today. God, just getting to know God, getting to know him and getting to know his presence and his voice in your life. And just those sweet kind of moments of, I love you, Lord. I bless your name, Almighty God. Thank you for this day, Jesus. God, be with me today. God, I ask, Lord, that you lead my steps today, Jesus. All of these prayers, every prayer that we pray, I believe they're important. They're vital in building a relationship with God, coming before him and building this strong personal relationship with God. But it's just the same thing with every relationship. Here we go. It's a natural thing. When you first meet someone, you're like, hi, my name's Natalie. How are you? I'm doing great. Thank you. So where do you work? Okay. Oh my gosh. It's so nice to meet you. You may only talk about very impersonal things when you first meet somebody. Like, how's the weather? How many children do you have? Oh, are you a mother? They're not going to go into these deep issues of what was your childhood like? Like, did you like your mama and your dad, by the way? You're not going to go in those deep issues with somebody that's merely an acquaintance. Kind of like with God. When you're first getting to meet him, it might be very just that basic, like, praise the Lord, I love you, Jesus, I magnify you. But then when you start to get to know him, oh, you start to get to know his presence. And he gets to know you. Like, she's faithful. She shows up every day to talk to me. And I want to encourage anybody in here, and y'all are so accustomed to praying 2 or 3 hours a day. I know some people who are. They pray 2, 3, and 4 hours. I'm like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Let me, God, let me get there, Lord. Let me get there, Lord. But I want to live also a life of prayer. I try to pray without ceasing. That as you're going about your day all day long, its prayers are in your mind and you're talking to God, even when you're at the grocery store. There's this constant just prayer on your lips of, Lord, who do you want me to talk to today? Who do you want me to say something to? Is it that person right there, Lord? Or God, bless sister so-and-so, or touch brother so-and-so, God. And you're just doing that as you're walking around your day all day long, every day. You're like, Sister Natalie, all that pray without ceasing. There's a prayer on your lips. There's a prayer in your mind constantly wherever you go. Okay, there comes a time you get deep and you got to do some praying with some energy. That energy prayer, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availing much. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, God, oh God, touch our city, oh God. Oh God, I plead the blood over our city in the name of Jesus. I plead the blood over Cairns, O Lord of Queensland, in the name of Jesus. God, I bleed the blood over the church of the Most High God in Jesus' name. Oh God, touch my family, Lord. Touch our home, Almighty God. I speak strength, Lord, into the man and the woman of God. God, I speak peace and blessings in their home, Lord. God, we thank you for what you're doing, Lord, in advance, Almighty God. You feel the difference in the atmosphere. You feel that? That's a prayer with energy. And that might not be all your prayers, but the Bible says that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, it avails much. It works much. Oh, God. Oh, availeth means to have or exercise force. Ooh, don't you just love that? Be of strength and much work. It means you're doing much work. You're getting something done in the spirit, saying, oh God, if I have to plow, I'm going to plow. If I have to shovel, I'm going to shovel, Lord, to dig some things out, God, in my family. God, remove anything, Almighty God. Lord, oh God, that might be hindering my family, Lord. It might take some work and some force. Oh, but don't you love it with God? You reap what you sow. You put much work into it, God says, okay, I'm going to give you much work back. That means that farmer that goes out there and he tills and he plants the land and he sows into that land. God said, I'm going to reap that back. Just like farming, God's going to reap those prayers back to us. Thank you, Jesus. So I pray if I can stir this up, because let me tell you, I've traveled all throughout the United States for 10 years. Doing this and actually helping. I mean, I don't call myself a preacher. I'm a minister. In any way that I can minister, if honestly, I'm looking at the, because I know y'all are going to get carpet, and I'm so excited about your carpet, but I was like, Lord, I could paint this floor for them, Jesus, before they get this carpet. That's the way my brain is working, because that's what I would do. I'll go into churches. I'll paint sanctuaries. I'll paint floors. I painted floors, actually, before. That's what I was thinking. I've painted floors. I painted furniture. I've taught Sunday school. I've helped lead worship. Anything that was needed, that's what we're doing. That's what we're here. It's anything that your hands can find to do in the kingdom. You do it with all of your might all over. And as I've traveled, I will tell you, you will correlate. You want to see a powerful church? You will see their prayer rooms full with powerful prayers. You'll walk into that church and you'll walk into their prayer rooms, and their prayer rooms will shake with energy and force. Every time, I'm telling you, it's those churches are the ones that are getting something done, and they are powerful churches. If anything, I want to stir it up, that it's not just here, but that goes into your home, in your personal prayer closet, that you at home, by yourself, even if it's by yourself, you get in that prayer closet and you stir this up, those prayers of energy and force, oh God, because you watch what God will do in your home. And in your family, I got to pay attention to my time. Lord's like, Natalie, that's the prayer part of it. Pastor, that was the prayer part of it. But what is vital is that when you're praying, you got the heat, the fervent prayers, is that you mix it with the fuel of faith. Let me tell you, I have, and they've just come out, I have a little cousin, 5 years old, that was just diagnosed with leukemia. Literally, we just found out yesterday. And when I heard, my heart sank. 5 years old, diagnosed, and it was and God, like, because then I almost started praying right then, because you know, your heart gets, I mean, it tugs your heart. God said, Natalie, that's not going to cause you to pray in faith. That's not praying in faith. So I, like, wait a minute, I had to, like, stop myself. Natalie, don't feel bad for this child. I know this sounds so weird. But I did. I had to, like, pull up my bootstraps just for a minute and said, no. Oh, wait a minute. This is an opportunity for a miracle here. God, that's what I'm going to believe. And it totally changed the way I prayed. Because at first my prayer was going to be, oh, God, please touch your Lord, heal her body. And God was like, no. He's like, pray in faith. God, you allowed this. Then you're going to bring something good from this. Because all things work together for good. It's the faith, because you go all throughout the Gospels and the miracles that Jesus did. Oh, God. Luke 17 and 19, 10 lepers. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And I'm going to go really fast, so if you want my scriptures afterwards, you'll be like, because sometimes everybody's like, Sister Nelly, you talk so fast. I'm like, Jesus, please help me with that. Matthew 9 and 22, and even Luke 8 and 48, was the woman with the issue of blood, what God said to her. Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. Do you hear? You hear what Jesus is telling all of them? Thy faith hath made thee whole. Mark 10 and 52, blind Bartimaeus, and Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. There's a pattern there. Jesus never mentions his own power or his ability to heal. He didn't say, my power healed you, which you know it did. It was Jesus, his amazing ability and power and strength. But he looked at every one of them and said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Why? Because we are the variable in the equation. His power does not change. He is the constant in the equation. His power, his ability. He said, I'm just me. God is God, beginning, ending, everlasting Father. Power from beginning, power to end. So why is there differences in miracles? Because we are the variable. It's our faith. That's why he said, your faith has made you whole. He said, because your faith connected to my power. And that's why you're made whole. God. So I pray it today. God, in this service later, I'm like, God, I've been saying, Lord, we're going to see miracles. We're going to see healings. And one of the greatest miracles, someone filled with the Holy Ghost. So Lord, so be it, Jesus. Because I walked in here with faith. I believe my little cousin's going to be healed. And now whatever God, in the process God wants to put her through, and whatever, God, whatever it is, because God knows. God, I said, whatever you might be doing in their church, in her family, because that's what we don't understand, is God is working it out. And in all of the miracles, you're saying, God, why'd you do it one this way this for this person, but you did it that way for that person, in this way for this person? Let me tell you something. God's God. He can do it any way he wants to do it. I was like, just as long as it gets done, Jesus, thank you, Lord. How the miracle has to come, how the healing has to come, so be it, Jesus. All I'm going to do is I'm going to bring my faith to you. And that's why it's so vital that when you're doing those prayers of energy, do them with faith. That's the element, the fuel, putting fuel on the fire. So that when we are praying in faith, with faith, no matter what, God. That's what we want, oh God. And the great thing about our God, oh, Jesus, we love you so much. I tell him, I said, everybody gives them such a hard time all over the world. Let me just tell you that much right now. Everybody blaming God for absolute everything. He gets such a hard time, doesn't he? He probably over here in Australia too, United States. Everybody throws him under the bus. And I said, so you know what? I give him credit. Lord, he does something good. Something good happens in my life. I said, thank you, Jesus. Look what God did for me. I said, Lord, everybody giving you a hard time? Well, I'm going to give you all the praise. I'm going to give you all the honor and all the glory for it. Because he is a good God to me. If I could tell you, in fact, I'm going to go in a little bit later, some of the stories. It's in my lesson later. But how good God has been to me. He's been so good to me. Oh, God. I love him. I love him. Oh, I love him. And when I think about this, he says, okay, Natalie, you bring your part, you bring that heat, and you bring that fuel. You know what he does in his goodness? He said, I provide the element you can't. The winds of my spirit will come and sweep over that heat and that fuel. It sweeps over. And all of a sudden, there's a mighty rushing wind. And that's why it could fill all the house where they were sitting, oh God. and then cloven tongues like as a fire set upon each of them, oh God. There's even stories in the United States where churches would be having service and the fire department would be called because there would be fires over top of their building. I believe one happened in Leesville, Louisiana, where my brother, where he's youth pastors. He's like, Natalie, that happened years ago. Here we're have there they were having service years and years ago, and he said fire department was called out. Here, you know, they're just having a powerful, mighty move of God. You just never know. Cloven tongues like as a fire. That stuff still happens today. It happens, and I'm so thankful, God. Oh, God. But you know what it is? It's us and God together. It's working together. It's not all on him, and he's so gracious to say it's not going to be all on us. Thank you, God, because we lack so much. I'm like, Lord, thank you, Lord. I even say, God, make up for my mess-ups, Jesus, even when I'm speaking. They get you all on live stream, and, you know, people can dub out this and only listen to this one part of what you say. And I'm like, Jesus, help us, God. Don't let our words be used against us. Jesus, help me, Jesus, Jesus. You know, I pray. I'm like, Lord, I'm trying to cover all my bases, Lord. But he makes up for us. He's so good. But, and I'm going to tell you, in our society, and I don't know if it's like this in Australia, but it's like this in the United States, a lot of people want to put everything off on God. God does everything, and I don't have to do nothing. Oh, this is a relationship. I'm like, relationships are two-way streets here. To build any relationship, even with your relationship with God. Everybody's like, come as you are. There's actually a church. I said, oh, God, help him, Jesus. They actually have a saying, their motto is, come as you are and stay as you are. I said, oh, that is not even biblical. That is not even biblical. It says, come as you are and end up being like Jesus and come change into what Jesus looks like. That's the whole thing. Is us just to conform and be like Jesus. I was like, no. Yes, he's so gracious. Says, come as you are, but I'll make you better than you were. That's how God does this. He said, I'll make you better. Why would you want to stay like you are when people come to God a broken mess? That's like, no. God's like, no, I'll make you better. I'm like, thank you, God. I don't want to stay like I am. But that's what I'm saying. It's a two-way for us and God. And you go back, 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Oh, God, he will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. The thing about that, if you will, then he will. There's an element of, everybody says, promises of God. I hold on to cling to the promises of God. And God spoke to me when we were talking about this one time, and my man of God and woman of God have been talking about covenants. And so God spoke to me when I was listening. He said, Natalie, a lot of what you call promises in my word are actually covenants. It's if you will, I will. It's this covenant between us two. Promises is, I promise to do this for you, but you don't have to do anything. I promise to sweep the floor. Oh, okay, well, thank you very much. Oh, that's so nice of you. Promise doesn't require necessarily anything on the other person's part. However, covenant does. Covenant says, you do this, that's your part of it, and I will do this, and that's my part of it. And you look all throughout the word. We're required to do something that will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. He trusteth in thee. You're like, oh God, I should have peace. I should have peace. Are you keeping your mind on the Lord? It's a matter of us doing something. So I'm just saying, I want to stir up in all of us and even in myself. God, I want to do my part over here, Lord. I want to bring the prayers, God. I want to bring the effectual, fervent prayers. I want to bring my faith to you, oh God. I want to bring that so then you can bring the winds of your spirit, oh Jesus. Because if there's going to be fire here in Australia, the fires of revival, let me tell you, it's going to require these things right here. If there's going to be fires here at Hope Divine, it's going to require all of us. And it may start with one. That's the great thing about a fire. You got a little match. That one little match, once it's struck, and it lights something, and that one little match, it can cause devastation all over. That's how I know y'all about wildfires over here all through Australia. I'm like, Lord, let there be wildfires of revival here. Wildfires of revival in the spirit, oh God. Let them burn all throughout Australia, Jesus. And all it takes is one person to light a match. One person to get in their prayer closet and say, God, let revival happen, Lord, in Cairns and Hope Divine Church, oh God. Stir it up, Almighty God. Stir it up, Lord, in our city, God. In Jesus' name, we thank you, God. What we're going to see, what's going to happen, all it takes is for one person to light a match. You be the match. You be that one, that you do it at your home, not just here, that you don't just wait for a Sunday service, but you do it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Every day we live like this. And this is what I tell everybody. Do not judge yourself according to the next person. You start from where you are at. Our purpose is to get to Jesus and get to us. Draw nigh to him and he'll draw nigh to you. I'm drawing, Lord. I'm going to draw. And so, in my step of faith, God just wants you to take a step towards him. So if you are not accustomed to praying, you're like, Sister Natalie, I don't pray every day. My purpose here today is to stir up. Then you know what? Monday morning, you get up, take 5 minutes, and you take your step forward, not the next person who's already been praying an hour a day. You know what? God might require an hour and a half from them. That's their step forward. I don't know. You're like, but you take your step forward. If you've never prayed every day and don't have a consistent prayer life with God, then you say, okay, I'm going to get up early 5 minutes and just take 5 minutes and start my day and say, Lord, I'm going to set my face towards you, that my day might be set and that I look towards you, Jesus, on this day today. And you watch what happens. Your 5 minutes will turn into seven. Seven will turn into 10. 10 will turn into 12, 12 to 15. And then you'll just start this growth process of you from here. Just moving forward, taking one step. Because then what happens more than likely when you take one, that next time you're like, oh, this felt really good. I might take two this next time. Thank you, Jesus. But it's us moving forward. You personally in your own life. Where you are at in God. You taking the steps forward with the Lord. And even go so far in fasting. If you are not accustomed to fasting, ooh, let me tell you something. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. Fasting's hard. This flesh. And I'm going to tell you, Americans, we like to eat. Let me just tell you that much right now. Hallelujah. We got some good eating places over there, and I'm so sorry. We have sent over our three worst fast food restaurants, but they are better over here, I will say. Your food is just better over here. I'm like, I've noticed that as I've eaten it. I'm like, but we sent over our three worst fast food. I'm like, Lord, they need Chick-fil-A over here, Jesus. God, give them Chick-fil-A. I have been praying that for y'all, okay? So when Chick-fil-A starts showing up all throughout Australia, be like, Sister Natalie, that's the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Y'all need a Chick-fil-A. Okay, talking about food, I'm going to talk about fasting. Help me, God. But we like to eat. But if you have never fasted a whole day in your life, putting food aside, saying, I'm going to consecrate unto you, Lord, that because now everybody's doing it for their health and they're doing it for the weight loss and all that stuff, but a true fast unto the Lord is you're doing it for the Lord. You're saying, I'm setting this aside, Lord, because I this flesh, you got to put that flesh under subjection. You got, whoa, tell it no sometimes. You got to tell it no. Really, we need to tell it no every day. Oh, God, we got to push this thing down and keep it crucified. We crucify our own selves. And part of that is fasting. But if you've never fasted a whole day, don't get discouraged. Start out with one meal. Just say one week, you're going to say, okay, today I'm not going to eat breakfast. And then that next week that you go, you're going to say, I'm not going to eat breakfast and I'm not going to eat lunch. And then that next week, you're going to say, okay, for this day, I'm not going to eat breakfast, lunch, or dinner. You work your way up to it. Because sometimes where we get discouraged as humans is we set these really lofty, big goals. And then when we fall short of them, then the enemy just comes in and says, you're a failure. Look, you can't do that. I didn't really mean to say you're not no failure, because I said it right at you when I went like that. You ain't no failure in Jesus' name. And I was like, oh, I was looking right at her when I said it. The Lord's like, Natalie, tell her she's not. Okay. In Jesus' name, you're absolutely not. But that's what the enemy wants to tell us. When you mess up, you know, you meant to fast one day, and then you ate, and you're like, oh, man, I messed up. And then he just bombards you with all of these condemnation. You knew you couldn't do it. Don't even try again. You know what? Get rid of that. Just try again. That's a great thing about our God. Even knowing Peter was going to deny him, he said, the devil desires to have you, to sift you like wheat. But you know what our God said to him? He said, Peter, I prayed for you. He said, and when you're converted. So he knew. He said, you're going to get this, Peter. Yeah, you're going to mess up. But you know what? Stay encouraged. Because he said, because I prayed for you. And I thank you for God that gives us second chances and third chances and doesn't kick us when we're down. And he says, yeah, you know, you might have messed up. That's okay. You're going to do better the next time. Do it. Try it again. Try it again. Keep trying. Keep trying. Every great inventor, you know how many times they failed? But then finally it clicks. And now we have light bulbs. And you're like, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Praise God, the man didn't give up. And that's what I say to you in this spirit is don't give up. Wherever you are at in your own walk with God, and you're like, Sister Natalie, I've been fasting and I've got this down. I'm like, thank you, God. Then encourage your brother and your sister. If you are already at a place of spiritual maturity, and you're like, Sister Natalie, I pray and I fast. I say thank you. We need you. The kingdom of God needs you. You are vital, oh God, because then that's when you grab somebody's hand that's learning. You grab that little child's hand, a spiritual kid in the spirit, and you say, come on, I'll teach you. I'll help you. You need me to help you be accountable when you're fasting? That's like when mamas, you know, when your babies are learning, they're learning to walk. And that's what this is for some people. They're learning to walk. Learning how to pray. They're learning how to fast. They're learning about faith. And the mamas come and say, come on, let me help you. I'll pick you back up. That's what God shows us why we need one another, is that when your brother or your sister, they get discouraged or the enemy comes in to try to condemn them, that's when you say, no, 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 I'm going to help you. Well, let's pray through this. I'll be a strength to you. Yes, I'm further along than you are, but I'm going to come and I'm going to grab your hand and I'm going to help you get to where I am at. In Jesus' name, that's what we're all for. If you all would like to stand, because then we're going to pray. And I pray that wherever you're at, because I know there's some visiting, that you all are from a little, we're all from everywhere. I'm from Florida in the United States. And let me tell you, Florida, God, help Florida, Florida, Lord, they need revival in Jesus' name. Oh, God, help them, Lord. Revival is needed everywhere. You know why? Because this thing I say all the time, everywhere I go, Jesus is coming back. And Jesus is coming back very, very soon. Okay, I'm already going to step out of my comfort zone. Oh, hold on just a minute, because the Lord's like, now you got to deal with something. I don't scare you. I'm allowed to hold your hand. I'm not going to say anything that's the Lord. When I did say that, I was like, well, maybe I had to. It's because the Lord wants to let you know that he sees exactly where you're at, okay? He sees you. Because then when I said that, the Lord said, no, Natalie, tell her she is not. God is a gracious and he is such a good God. And he's got your back. He's got your back. When you might feel like you're alone, when you might feel like you're alone and like nobody else sees and that nobody else knows, maybe that's why I even had to do that, is because God is saying, let her know that I see her. I see where she's at. So God sees in Jesus' name. Maybe that's why the Lord said, Natalie, you had to say right there. Because God sees and God knows. God sees each one of us and he sees where you're at. And he loves with such a deep love. But you know where that love, we're the conduits of it. Now, if you have his spirit living inside of you, we're the conduits. We're what he uses. I'm what he uses to let her know God loves you. He loves you. He does. That's the word. We're what he uses. Vessels that he uses. So God, stir it up. So God, in the name of Jesus, stir up your men and women of God. Stir up everybody that is in here today, oh God. Help them and give them strength, oh God. I pray, oh God, that the effectual fervent prayers, oh Lord, are stirred up in Australia like never before, here in Cairns, and Hope Divine, oh God. In us, oh God, through us, oh God, use us, oh Lord, as vessels, Jesus, that you might get the work done on this earth, oh Lord. God, oh God, let us bring our faith to you. Strengthen our faith. Any faith that has been discouraged or disappointed, oh God. God, I speak strength into faith, oh Lord. God, yandara, orio sio, torio pia nananako. God, I speak that your winds of your spirit will blow, that they will, God, blow all over, Lord. God, in Jesus' name, in our homes, Lord, in our own personal lives, Lord. God, you're going to touch our homes and our families, Lord. God, I speak strength and blessings and favor, Lord, that everywhere we walk, oh Jesus, that people will feel your spirit, Lord. God, oh God, we thank you, Almighty God, and we praise and we bless and honor your holy name today, Jesus, for you alone are worthy of all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor, Jesus. We love you for who you are, Lord. We love you for who you are, oh God. We love you for who you are, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh God, we serve such a great big